So it was at the turn of the century. It's funny how we can think of 2000 that way, isn't it? It was the turn of the century. I was in formation, and I had asked the director of clergy personnel at the time, what did I need to do if I really wanted to get into full-time parish ministry? And he said to me, of course, you need a master's degree in theology. The local seminary offered a degree. It was a specialization, religious education, in biblical studies and in a couple of other fields. And I thought to myself, biblical studies, I think I already know some stuff. And this would be good. I've got a head start. Because one of the Old Testament prophets, I knew him. You know, Jeremiah the bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. He really was. Thank you, Three Dog Night. But then also the New Testament, right? I'm of Irish descent. So men are supposed to make beer. Men also, and it's biblical, are supposed to make coffee. The second reading today was from where? Hebrews. I promise it'll get better. This week we celebrated two very interesting moments in the life of the church. One, of course, is the Feast of the Assumption when Mary bodily assumed into heaven to receive her glory. Also, Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan who gave his life in service of the gospel. But then there was one other thing that kind of went unnoticed, also on the Feast of the Assumption of Blessed Virgin Mary. It was in 1890 in England where Archbishop John Carroll was elevated to bishop and assigned a brand new diocese, the Diocese of Baltimore. It was in 1890 that the Catholic Church in America was started with the establishment of the Diocese of Baltimore and Archbishop William Carroll as our very first archbishop. So happy, somebody else do the math. I'm a theologian. I can't do that math. 229 years. We hear about Jeremiah getting thrown in a cistern because he told the truth. There are times in our lives when we've probably gotten into some hot water by telling the truth. As parents, I think I encouraged my children not to tell the truth. Of course, as a deacon, I married, Don and I had four kids. Because there were moments when I looked at my kids and I said to them, don't tell me that you fill in the blank. What's their option? They can't tell me the truth. I just told them not to. So they have to lie. But then I also know times when they would lie rather than tell the truth. We've all done that. But the truth is what sets us free. The truth is why Jesus Christ came to the earth. The truth is what Jeremiah was doing in Jerusalem. The town was about to be under siege. And there was an opportunity to surrender. Jeremiah said, surrender and save the people. Save the city. Because the invading forces are far greater than we are. But there were those in the king's court that disagreed with him, that didn't want to hear his narrative, didn't want to hear what he had to say, because in their own mind, they thought they knew better. Therefore, since Jeremiah disagreed with them, Jeremiah was a threat and needed to be dealt with. Well, throw him in a cistern, he'll suffer. Father Jim, we were talking before Mass, said, yeah, poor Jerry got thrown in the well. I wonder if he knew Jerry. Never mind. We know him, though, as a prophet, one that told the truth. And it's the truth that's sometimes so difficult for us to hear because it challenges who we are, it challenges what we believe. And sometimes it doesn't need to be challenging. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes, learn a little bit more, read a little bit more, explore a little bit more, and we will find out what the truth is. Letter to the Hebrews. We look to Jesus Christ as our Savior, who went and died for us on the cross. So many folks suffer with anxiety and depression because they don't think they're enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I can't. I'm not. Stop already. Who are you competing with? That you're trying to judge yourself in terms of others. Because we're reminded in this letter to the Hebrews, as Paul had done so many other times, who's the race for. Better yet, what's a race? A race has a beginning and an ending, and you try to get from beginning to end as quickly, as efficiently as you can, making sure that you covered all the obstacles along the way, if that's what the race entails. So many of us, though, conjure up an image of a 100-meter dash or of a cross-country race where we have to do better than somebody else. In our faith, that's not the way it works. In our faith, it's we accept and understand who we are as baptized Christians, Catholics, and that we are on a journey to the finish line. Where is the finish line? The kingdom, eternal life. Who are you in competition with? I'm not in competition with anybody. I can't be. I can't spend my time wondering if I'm as good as St. Teresa, if I'm as holy as St. Francis, if I'm as good as, and the list can go on and on, because they're different people. I am who God wants me to be. I am, I believe, where God wants me to be, for better, for worse, all those things. Maybe it's difficult, maybe it's not difficult. Maybe things at home, maybe things at work, maybe things in the community are challenging or difficult. That's part of the journey. How are we going to live our life in relationship to who we understand is the truth? How are we going to live our lives? How are we going to be in this race where the only thing we have to work for is the kingdom? To do our best along the way. Follow the rules, the precepts of our church, to be one united with Christ, to actively participate in this Eucharistic celebration, to receive the Eucharist that gives us the grace, the strength, the fortitude to go through the rest of our week, to praise and worship and give thanksgiving as a community of believers, because we are stronger in community than we are alone. There is no fear in your heart when you stand up and pray the creed with everyone else here. You might feel a little less uncomfortable if you were doing it at the 50-yard line before a TCU football game. But not if everybody else in the crowd was doing it with you. We're not alone in this journey. Christ is always with us. Christ told us he was going to leave us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to lead us, to give us the strength to endure the trials that happen in our life. Our gospel reading can be difficult to understand unless one speaks Scripture. Scripture can be filled full of hyperbole, Jesus pushing an extreme to make a point. But let's take an example here, and we hear in our world today how divided we are. But division is not necessarily a bad thing when it's for the right purpose. Let's suppose for a second that for some crazy reason, I wanted to try and convince you that indoor football, arena football, was better than regular football. And I managed to get a few of you to agree with me, and we decided to do something equally crazy and start the fantasy indoor football league or whatever. There would be division. Because some of you think that outdoor football or football played on a regulation-sized field is better than arena football. There's division. That doesn't make it bad. It makes it different. Our faith tells us that we do not believe everything that out there tells us is true. If you buy the right car, you will not be the prettiest person on the planet. But yet that's what we're led to believe. We have to find the truth, the real truth, and that truth is found in the biblical message, in the gospel message. And Jesus is saying he wants to separate people from lies, to separate people who will understand what the truth is and follow him apart from those that want nothing to do with it. He wants to separate people. He wants to get followers who want to gain the kingdom. And this whole idea of the world being ablaze, unfortunately, it's too easy for us to conjure up in our mind a forest fire. There have been enough of them in the news, or one that's encroaching on the community with all the houses, and there's the possibility of devastation. We think about fire too often as a bad thing, because most often we have tamed fire. You have fire in your house if you have a gas range, and you might use it to get hot water for your coffee. So fire's okay there. Or better yet, since I was talking about Jeremiah the bullfrog a minute ago, let me do another retro one on you. Remember in the amphitheater at the musical concert, especially if it was a rock band, what did we all do to show our appreciation? We pulled out our Bics and we lit our Bic. And didn't the performer want to see that arena ablaze? Sometimes the same thing can be thought of in our Easter vigil, when we come into the church with the Paschal candle, newly lit for the first time with a blessed flame, and we come in and we share that light of Christ with everyone in the congregation. And whether there's 100 or 500 people or 1,000 people gathered, it is amazing how quickly the flame spreads through the congregation that every candle is lit. And the room is ablaze. And it's not a bad thing. That flame of faith that we receive at baptism with the baptismal candle as a symbol. Parents and godparents are asked to be kept, are asked to keep that flame burning brightly. At our confirmation, we accept that responsibility. It's not my job as a confirmed Catholic to know my way around my faith and to work to get to the kingdom. Jesus Christ was in his glory hanging on the cross. That's what he longed for. We heard that in today's gospel. There was some anguish until he could get there and do what he came to do, to demonstrate how much he loved us, to demonstrate for us that he wants to see us again in the kingdom. He wants us to be with him. He said in John's gospel, "I'll go before you and prepare a place for you. And when I come back again, I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may also be." Jesus wants us in the kingdom. God wants us in the kingdom, God the Father, as the Father that wants his children gathered around him. What parent doesn't want their kids gathered around at major holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas? Some parents dream that the kids would all be there present to celebrate as one together. That's what God wants for us. That's why he sent his son to us, that we might understand the truth. And the truth can sometimes be tough. It can be very difficult sometimes to say the truthful message. It can be very difficult for me to tell you that if you're not praying, that if you're not living your Catholic faith, the kingdom might not be yours. You might not want to hear that. Because I'm a good person, I'm doing the right things, until we take a good hard look at an examination of conscience. And then we find out we fall short. We shouldn't get upset about it. We should work to fix it. We as Catholics have that wonderful opportunity to reconcile with God in the confessional, where the priest, acting in the person of Christ, absolves us of our sins with mercy and love and says, "Okay, pick your stuff up, get back on the path. Keep working to get to the kingdom." It's our journey to make. We do it in community because it's much easier. We look to ways to learn about our faith, to explore the ideas that will bring us closer to relationship with God. And that's what we're called to do, to be the children of God, to be present for one another and for him. We gather together this morning. You made a conscious choice to be here today. Others, for a variety of reasons, chose not to. This was not as important as cutting the grass, going to breakfast, watching a game, playing a game, or whatever. I'm not judging. I'm just suggesting that this is the better place. This is the place where we can have our faith nourished and grow through the sacrament of the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity that we receive that gives us the strength and the courage to go out into the world and be the people Christ asks us to be. There may be divisions when you look to someone and say, "No, I can't do that. I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to participate in that because it's not the right thing to do. You may lose friends, but if you're doing the right thing, then you know you're on the correct path to God. And our soul longs to go home. Our soul longs to be back in the kingdom with God to celebrate for all eternity. Let our humanness follow along the path our soul leads to us. And it's not a competition with one another. I don't rate you on how many times you go to Mass every week and how many times I go to Mass a week and how many times you went. No. It's my journey. I've got to get there. Lots of help, of course. Sacraments, of course. But we've got to understand that the journey is ours. The race is ours. And the kingdom is the goal. Because Jesus Christ was willing to get up on the cross and tell us how much he loved us. And he did it in a very visible way that every time we look at a crucifix, we know how much he loved us. Because he stretched out his arms and he said, I love you this much. We just need to follow.